Amen. All right, may all be seated. Amen. All right, let's say a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come first of all to thank you for this year. Thank you because we have seen your mighty hand upon us individually, and we have seen it upon this church corporately. We return all of the glory and praise unto you. And we are not confused about who is the one that is doing the work. For without you, we are nothing. Therefore, we give you all the praise and glory. And as we go into the word this evening, I ask by the power of your spirit that you grant utterance that I speak accurately according to the wisdom of the Godhead. That these words, you will take them and you will supply light into the lives of people, grace into their hearts. They will receive encouragement, direction, instruction, and impartation in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. First of all, while I was meditating on God's word about a week ago, God inspired me and gave me the scripture in John chapter 5, verse 20, and that's what we're going to call 2025, our year of greater works. All right. Okay, so we'll be blessed to do greater things. You understand that? All right, now why greater works? And I want to go into it and teach on it this evening. Why greater works? John 5:20 tells us, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And then he says, and he will show him greater works than these, for one reason, that ye may what? Marvel. In other words, God wants to do greater things through us. The central purpose is to cause the world to do what? Marvel. In other words, so what God is saying, he wants to raise rabbis in the sense that people come and meet you by night and say, Rabbi, no man can do these works that you are doing except God be with him or her. We find this in Isaiah 29, verse 23 and verse 24, the purpose of God. Isaiah 29, 23 and 24. It says, but when he seeth his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. The next verse says, and they also that err in spirit shall come to understanding. And they that murmur shall do what? Learn a doctrine. So God says, I want to move so mightily in the midst of my people that people that have been murmuring about the kingdom of God will come and learn a doctrine. And that some people also will come to a place of understanding. So that's the central purpose of what God wants to do. And we see in John chapter 14 and verse 12 to verse 14 how he wants to do it. So the first thing is, what's his motive? He wants to use you as his point of contact to save the world. And that the only way the world will bow down to the lordship of Jesus is that you outperform them in everything. Are you following what I'm saying here? They are not going to respond to niceness. They are not going to respond. The only thing they will respond to is the superiority there in terms of performance. And so it says, when they see these works, they will marvel. Now, John 14 tells us how he wants to do it. 12 to 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works, so that's greater works, than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now here's the catch. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. In other words, to do greater works, you must go to God in prayer and ask him for a performance of greater things. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must ask him that you want certain things done in your life that far exceed what you have seen and what you have witnessed in 2024 and the previous years. That is, it says, whatsoever you shall ask. In other words, you go there to ask him for greater manifestations. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The next verse tells us, if you shall ask anything in my name, he says, I will do it. Now the catch is the next verse. He now says, if you love me, keep my commandments. In other words, when you want greater manifestations, and I believe everyone under the sound of my voice, if you already have not done this, and I'll show it from scripture, all right, have three major things that you want God to do in your life. And when we talk about greater works here, not just personalized things, but major things that you want God to do in and through you that will cause the world to marvel when these things happen. And he said, when you come to me and ask for these things, my response, he said in verse 14, John 14, 14, is that he says, keep, John 14, 14, please. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And this is the catch, verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, what do you mean by this? Go to 1 John 3, 21 to 24. And I get into the message here. 1 John 3, 21 to 24. There's a condition here. It says, quickly please, 1 John 3, 21 to 24. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. Now, this is what he says. Next verse. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Now, follow me in this thing. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and love one another as he has given us commandment. The next verse, it says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him and he in him, and hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. So what we see here is this. When you go to God in prayer about something that is way beyond you and anything that you can accomplish, he says, I will answer that prayer by giving you commandments or instructions to keep. That if you ask that, let's assume that you want to go from tenfold to a thousandfold, he says, no problem. What I want from this is that the world will marvel
And through that, you will catch men. Just as Peter caught fish and everybody marveled, he said, from now on, you will catch men, which meant I will use you as a point of contact. So now start catching men through what I'm doing in and through you. However, the reason why you don't have that experience now is that you are not living according to the commandments that commands that level. When you come to me in prayer, I will give you the commandments that will cause that thing you have prayed about to come to pass. If you keep those commandments, there will be the resultant effect will be the manifestations of these things. In other words, somebody says, I want to fly. Everybody says, it's impossible, it's impossible. Nobody can fly because if you throw an object up, it comes down because there's a law pulling everything down. So nobody can go up because there's a law. So people say in the environment, because of certain things on the outside, those things cannot happen. All right, because you live in Nigeria, these things cannot happen. And all of that, there's a force pulling down. Now, God gave people the commandment, all right, of lift. And once they understood those commandments there of lift there and got that body of knowledge and put it to work, they neutralized the law of gravity. Are you following what I'm saying here? So in answer to prayer here, he will give you commandments. And he says, if you keep these commandments that I give you concerning it, then you will have discovered the secret to the manifestation of that particular thing. And by keeping it, you'll get yourself into it. Now, let me just back off and just quickly say this. If you don't have any massive dream, hear what I'm saying here, that you know inside your spirit that I am in alignment with God concerning this thing for 2025, right? So before we proceed, because I'm making an assumption that people have spent time and know inside their hearts that have been dropped within them that this is what God wants to do in and through you in 2025. Now, this is what you should do. Here's the instruction. Commit 3 days to praying about that vision that God wants to do in and through you and pray about nothing else in those 3 days but that prayer. In other words, God, what is it you want to do in and through me in 2025 that will cause people to marvel? Ask for nothing else but that particular vision. So you come to know inside your heart that this thing is deep on the inside of me. This is it. Skip 1 or 2 meals while you're praying about this. And spend time. Don't get distracted about anything. It won't take long if you are focused on it and pray about this. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, put it up. It says, ask of me, all right? Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. It says, call unto me and I will answer, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. One translation says, I will show you the things that I want to do that are mighty that you don't know. So offer up that prayer. Fill me with the knowledge of your will, Colossians 1, 9 to 11, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I may walk worthy of you unto all pleasing and be fruitful in every good work. Pray that prayer in the understanding, then pray out that vision from within you by spending time praying in tongues. Now, when you pray in tongues, it's almost like you're taking a bucket into the Holy Ghost, and after some time, that vision will pop up within your consciousness, and you will know on the inside, this dream is what God wants to do in and through me this year, all right? So you stay there in prayer until you know that this is what he wants to do, and within 3 days, you'll have come to that. If you pray, nothing else but that. Don't get distracted. Don't let desperation take you away from destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Desperation for temporal things, you miss out on the eternal. Pray only that prayer. and pray it until you know what to do on the inside of you. Now, no matter how big it is, and it will be big. Are you following what I'm saying here? I was watching the different centers, and I said to myself, a day is coming that we'll be doing crossover service. We'll have 40 places in this city that will be like this. Are you following what I'm saying? And this one won't be like this again. Do you get what I'm saying here? That's 40 places where thousands of people are gathering together, worshiping God. You'll start getting that kind of results. People will come and learn doctrine. Do you get what I'm saying here? That's what he's saying. So in your business, whatever it is you are doing in your life, pray until you know on the inside, this is the kind of expansion. All right? And say, this is where we are going. Now, it is not hard. It says, when you go and pray, it's not just we're praying, God, do it, go it, no, 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 God. What are the commandments and the instructions that we ought to keep? What is the wisdom to cause this particular kind of thing to happen? There was a time, we could say 50 years ago. I was watching, somebody was asking and making fun of Bill Gates when he was talking about the internet. This was about 30 years ago, making fun of him. That was the internet, you are saying. And he said people will be able to wire. He said, but that looks like making fun of him on national television. That he was talking, because people did not understand, nor believe. Are you following what I'm saying here? The difference between us posting letters, writing letter and putting it and then sealing it, and going to the post office. No, it's not even post office. Back then, you just go to something in an area and drop it into one hole. They'll say, and you look at it and say, I commit this letter to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you don't know when it will get to America or when it will ever come back. Now, listen, God did not add anything new. We discovered what he already had. The internet was not an addition. The internet came as a result of discovery. Are you following what I'm saying there? I've said this, there are things we will discover that people, younger people will say, you mean you used to travel with passports? And they will laugh at us as though we're in the Stone Age. They will say, so you mean you put your photograph and they'll be looking? No, you're joking. You'll say, what? And you are feeling like, are you from there? It's discovery. Do you get what I'm saying here? 30 years ago, if I say I will stand somewhere, and as I'm talking, back then, what you preach here, you preach it just for the people in this room. That's all. God did not add anything. He opened the eyes of people to see what he already had. And there's much more than that. Our problem is we want manifestation without instruction. It says, I will give you the commandment, and you'll have the body of knowledge, and you'll go in and throw it there. So I'll look at this here in terms of that. Now it says, let's look back at 1 John 3, 22. I just want to say something here. Right? So you can get anything, when I say anything now, as regards what God, and people should look at your life and know that anything is possible if this person can move to this level in 1 year. You get what I'm saying here? Anything is possible. But there will be commandments he will give you. And it's because you keep those commandments and the instructions that he gives, and you keep that instructions there, that's why you'll get that manifestation. So he tells us in 1 John 3, 22 here, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And we'll see this. You know, when he talks about commandments, people think it's Ten Commandments. Everybody just thinks Ten Commandments. God was giving commandments before Ten Commandments came. Look, he told Isaac, there was no Ten Commandments when he was talking to Isaac. There was famine in the land, grievous famine. God said to Isaac, you don't need to depart. I will give you commandments. If you keep those commandments, he said, I will multiply you in this land. Are you following what I'm saying? Planes don't fly because the law of gravity was suspended. Planes fly because people discovered something that surpasses it. Asking for the environment to have mercy on you is not God's way. It is the discovery of a wisdom there that relieves the pressures of the environment. Then you extend it to others. So it says this. It says, if we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, all right? Because we keep his command, do those things that are pleasing. Now, I just want to share something about something that is pleasing. When it says pleasing inside, quickly go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and verse 39. I want to give a second instruction here. It's Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. It says, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Next verse, it says, but we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of soul. What does it mean by you draw back? If we go to verse 19 of the same chapter, it talks about this. 19 of the same chapter here. It says, verse 19 here, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter. So one thing that is pleasing to God is that we come in and enter into the holiest of all. And I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. All right, we'll see this, that regardless, for you to discover this commandment, you have to enter into the holiest of all. And the key to this thing, because of time, I'm just saying this, will be intimacy with God and consistency. And the greatest threat to it is distraction. In other words, you'll be intimate with God and you'll be consistent in that intimacy, which means you go up and spend time, right, in God's presence. All right? I mean, you see Moses, that he went into the tabernacle of God and he spoke to God face to face. That's where you get the commandment. And then we saw the secret of Joshua, that when Moses left the place, Joshua remained in God's presence. All right? Who will be the Joshua generation? Those that remain in his presence. Because the Bible says, they that know their God. That word know is the same word that Adam knew Eve. Those that are intimate with God shall be strong and do exploits. The greater works is going to come by you spending, listen, daily quality time in worship. Daily quality time in worship. There's no magic to Christianity. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen. You can predict the future of a Christian by checking just whether or not they devote 3 hours to God consistently every day. Listen, nobody, and I'm not cursing anything, nobody can become anything in God without consistency. Even if it's 30 minutes every day you do something, you are doing it every day. Once you don't have that daily routine, once the daily routine is not there, that thing is not Christianity. I've said this year, we are going back, as they used to teach then, to our first love. You know, they'll say return to Bethel. And let me just say this here. We have seen this. Even when people are accurate in Revelation, we were there. We saw it. Even when the word movement started and people came with revelation knowledge, and many things people were doing, probably a lot of things they were doing before that time in what you call SU movement, people could say sense knowledge and all of that. Any generation that curses the previous generation because of what they have discovered, listen to me, will see that that generation was raised by God. Because what they have will be absent to you. Back then, if you say, I am a Christian, people can leave money on the table. They may not speak in tongues. Do you get what I'm saying here? You came with the revelation of Pentecostalism. We speak in tongues. We have word of knowledge. But you see, what they had, you will lose it. If somebody says, and I remember,
I'm not saying this because I'm a Liverpool fan, but I remember this.
And I was shocked. Jurgen Klopp one time was talking and he was coaching Borussia Dortmund. And they were saying Real Madrid wanted him. Real Madrid wanted him. You will go, you will go. And they kept asking him, you will go. He just turned around. He said, I am an evangelical. Don't you understand? I don't break my contract. Once I give my word, it's my bond. All the journalists stopped talking in Germany. Say it today. Say, I'm a Pentecostal. We lost something. When you fight, listen, it's called the fogs of war. When you fight to prove your point, you lose what the people you are fighting had. That's why it's not revolutionaries that change the world, it's reformers. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means they bring about transformation, but they don't disturb things. It's at the end you realize that they've switched something. So what am I saying? We lost our quiet time. I was in meetings, Mark, he said, it's no longer quiet time, it's shouting time. You get what I'm saying here? Quiet time where people spend time every day. Where they had cliches, the word before breakfast. In other words, you can't have breakfast without you reading your Bible. We threw all those things away. Christians wake up without it. They can go on 4 weeks, no Bible reading. But that breakfast, they won't miss it. And let me tell you this. We can predict a man's future by his attitude to food. We can tell you this. Man fell in the garden from what they eat. Esau lost his birthright by what he eat. The first temptation Satan brought to Jesus was to eat. If you can't defeat appetite, you can't go anywhere. Let nobody tell you who you are in Christ. Listen, if you can't defeat appetite. Go and check 1 Corinthians. They were all baptized under the cloud. Baptized, and Moses baptized. What happened? He says they sat down to eat and drink, rose up to play. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Let's move on because we have other steps. So what's the path to this discovery here? I'll be able to just touch on this here. And we'll go and pray. What's the path here to the discovery? Because you are guaranteed if you go to God in prayer that God hears it. You say, God, this is the vision, you've placed it. I've guaranteed. He says, okay, I will give you my commandments. All right? I'll give you the commandments concerning this thing. And once you understand these commandments concerning it, that's why Psalm 119 verse 19, David could say this. Psalm 119 verse 19, he said, I'm a stranger on this earth. Hide not your commandments from me. What was he saying? He said, look, I've come to realize there are many things I don't understand. Show me the commandments behind these things. I'm a stranger. I'm reaping the benefits of things I don't even know about. Hide not the commandment away from me. Now, the first challenge and the major challenge that must be resolved, and this, what I want to share here, will give you a major explanation, and then God showed me something, and I will close with that particular thing, and it was major revelation to me, because in all my Christian life, I had read it, I had looked at it, and I had wondered about it. Now, the first challenge that must be resolved in man. When you pray for something that is massive and mighty, there's one challenge. And that's what James was referring to when he said, you have not because you ask not. He said, you ask and receive not. He said, because you want to consume it upon your lust. That lust is, we'll see what that thing is. He was talking about something. And the first challenge that must be resolved is a weakness that is found in God's creatures, be it man or angels. And it is pride when God moves and blesses. There's a tendency on the inside of you that if God moves that way in your life and blesses you, like a friend told me in school, He said, you know, it was a square, but it was a square. He said, doing business, making money. He said, he walked into the fellowship. He told me, he said, when stuff began to happen to him and he had Christ, he said, you know, I used to come to this fellowship, I just look around. These people don't know anything. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, you may be saying, I'm a good Christian. If they hit you with $100 million, listen, you will be surprised at what you will become. A risk to everybody in your environment. Your marriage is at risk. Everything is at risk. Ego exaltation is one of the most dangerous sins. It caused the downfall of Lucifer. It turned the original earth into a chaos. And it upsets the balance of the entire planet. Just one person that pride got into. Lucifer, before his fall, was the highest of the pre-Adamic creatures. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we see from verse 14 to verse 15 that God speaks about him. He says, your beauty and all of that. Exodus 28, 14 and 15, anointed cherub and all of you are in the midst of it. Verse 15, all right, Exodus 28, 15. He says, thou was perfect in thy ways until iniquity was what? Found in thee. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to verse 15. It says this, and you will understand something about life. Next 5 minutes. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to verse 15. All right? It says this. Quickly, please. Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? It's next verse. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of a congregation in the sides of the north. Next verse, it says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Where did he come from? And God said, thou shalt be brought down. And that was the collapse of it. It was the blessings of God on him that caused him to turn into something else. So that thing you are asking for, all right, God, you know, when we just said, I think it was the first or second person that got married. Oh, God told me, said, listen to me, my husband will never become rich. Huh? I said, can you say that kind of thing? She said, you don't understand. Now, I don't think that marriage, for all intents and purposes, lasted spiritually longer than 2 weeks. But it went on, but technically, 2 weeks. You see, because spiritual things are spiritual things. When you have a heart somehow, you will draw somebody who is somehow. She said, my father got wealthy and he destroyed our home. He started having children outside, all kinds of things. So I made up my mind. My own husband, the only way to preserve home is that we are helping each other. But if he blows, that was her thinking. Are you following what I'm saying here? So Paul recognized the danger when he cautioned Timothy. He said, don't put a novice into a position of authority or make him a bishop. He said, why? He said, pride will come into him. Give me Moffat's translation, 1 Timothy 3:6. All right, Moffat's translation, I ask you to get it. He says, pride will come into him and he will fall under the condemnation. All right, he must not be a new convert in case he gets conceited and incurs the doom that passes. So God looks at it and says, if we elevate this person with these greater works and their shadow is healing the sick, are we sure that they won't start thinking that they are something else? Look, that's the vice that is a man. I won't call the person's name, but Pastor Adebayo said something many years ago. And I, you know, some those men will say things. He said, I prayed a prayer, God conquer me so you can use me. Listen, He went to ordain somebody. I won't call the person's name in ministry. All right, but if I tell you to call three people in Nigeria, you call the person. He told him at the ordination, he said, you are going to go far in ministry, but you are the ass that Jesus is riding. When they are throwing down their clothes and say, Hosanna, it's not you, it is Jesus. If people start throwing down something and they say, Hosanna, great, great, you may think it is you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Uh-huh. And if you don't go through certain things, you will think so. That is what Paul was saying. When Paul said, let me tell you, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. In other words, between your prayer and manifestation, God has to allow you to go through some crises so that you are humble. That's the meaning of all the crises. Because he knows that if they don't humble you, that's why sometimes they greet everybody, they won't greet you. Are you following what I'm saying here? That's why you think that the whole thing revolves around you. I will resign. You resign. The work continues as though they don't know you. You thought you were so important. When I go, everybody will call me. Nobody will call you. If you haven't suffered these things, then you still will have to suffer it. You see some people, small thing is happening. They think it's them. They don't know it's the system that is making it happen for them. Listen, look up, let me just quickly go on. So God has to remove this tendency. A great evangelical said, it is said, very few can take honors either from the world or from God without getting conceited. What servant of God doesn't know the subtle temptation of spiritual pride that follows even mediocre success? How often people relate an answer to prayer to oneself and then end up blandly saying, to God be the glory. But when we listen to what you said, it's you. That God be the glory is just cliche. But what you have told us is how intelligent you are. The ego is so inflated by the fall that it's easy prey to Satan. A.C. Lovett says, the lock that's demonic spirit constantly just outside your skin. And they take advantage of the smallest provocation to inflate that psyche. He then said, who knows how much God will do for his servant if he dared? If one does not boast openly, following an anointed speech, a miracle of faith, or some manifestation of the Spirit, except for the workings of God in man, one will fall into this Satan's trap. Because people are so vulnerable to small stimulus to pride, God, although he loves to do so, dares not honor many before the world by special displays of his miraculous working power to in answer to prayer. God's great work, therefore, is to reduce us first, that is our ego. For until God has wrought a work of true humility and brokenness in his servant, he cannot answer some of their prayers without the undue risk of producing pride that goes before the fall. But we don't understand, this is what we're saying here, we don't understand God's ways, that what we are going through. You say, I can tell you stories. So are you gay? Look, I tell people. One day, I was on campus walking. I had headphones. I had a spiritual leader then. He said, he heard the voice from the headphones I was in there. He said, who are you listening to? I said, so, I won't call his name. He yanked the thing from me, removed the tape from it. I said, don't listen to this man. Something is going to happen soon. The man was going after everybody in the world in ministry. 2 weeks later, I stumbled on something or a robot wrote. He said, Satan has put something in you that makes you think you are better than other people. Be careful. The man's ministry collapsed. Listen, I was on campus. That's the first day God taught me this lesson. I was the prime teacher I was a young convert. In fact, I remember very well. I'll never forget. You know, no matter the fellowship we're doing for that, they gave me 23. I wasn't the president of fellowship. If I know now what I knew then, if you give me that kind of thing, I'll say, no, give me 5. Because you're looking for trouble for yourself. 23 sessions. So after some time, we left the fellowship. When we left the fellowship, maybe the fellowship was like 49. One day, one of our friends in the executive just came to meet us. He said to Yoruba, oh, Lord, no more shame. Ah. It's God that knows how to do this work. You know when people want to prepare you? He was just saying, you know, making food. God is the one that knows. We were 109. Are you following what I'm saying? In fact, may you not let you suffer the law of substitution. Substitution means that God, Jesus said, God, if you hold your peace, God will raise stones. People you didn't think had the gift, he will raise them for you to know the world doesn't revolve around you. Say, I will walk out of this place. Anybody threatening that doesn't know God. And you need to do it. So I humbled myself. It was 11 months of humility. You know what back then they used to call wilderness journey. Are you following what I'm saying? People get angry now. They were saying, prophesy to you. You will never see. You will see wilderness journey. It's character development. Listen to me. I didn't even know the work God did until by the time I became president of a fellowship, I invited somebody who was one of them. He now came. So I introduced him. We had a conference. So I introduced him to speak. When I got down, he said, you've changed. He said, you are in this fellowship and you stood up to talk and you didn't quote Greek. You didn't quote Hebrew. And you just introduced me. He said, God has worked in you. That's why that we don't quote Greek and Hebrew. We don't read it. Most people that are quoting Greek and Hebrew is just to show. And you know, knowledge puffeth up. We read it all, but when we come, we speak English. So God therefore allows us, once we pray for greater things, that's why Jesus said, when he said, want to sit on your left or your right, Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. There will be baptism. Whoever sits on my right, when you come, if he's actually there and you walk in, he will be the one that will go and open the door for you. That can you come in? What do you want to eat? Can I serve you? Are you following what I'm saying here? People like Archbishop, they will criticize them because they back then they were. But that man, his heart. When I met him in Benin City, he took me to the head of his table. In fact, he announced I was a student. I had nothing to give him. What do I have? He said, I have some guests. Tell them to go and prepare food. I saw some Japanese people. I thought those were the guests. Next thing he said, enter my car. Let's go. He took me to his table, put me on the head of the table, started serving me rice. Humility. Are you from there? That's why sometimes people, God blesses them financially, they give small offering. They think they are the ones financing the church. Hear what I'm saying. If the person is called, in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there has never been anybody who financed the work of God. That if one person is not there, the work will not continue, except it's not God's work. Test it. You will find out that the work will continue. It's you that are confused. That thinking is you. Are you following what I'm saying? And then the position you are supposed to have, you lose it. So what does he do? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 to verse 3. That's why he took them through the wilderness. And thou shalt remember all the way the Lord did lead thee 40 years in the wilderness. To do what? Humble you. That's all. Now, it's when you don't cooperate, it lasts for 40 years. Once you know what he is doing, it is 40 days. It's because people don't understand that what God wants to do is that he, that's why he says God is not slack concerning his promises, but he's saying that you have, there's something inside you that if we don't remove it, that dream we're talking about, when you get it, you will regret you ever got it. Because it's a terrible thing to reach a height and fall. He said, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. Put it, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. All right? And led thee these 40 years, humbled thee and proved thee to know what was in thy heart, whether you keep his commandments or not. So he's taking you through a process. If you cooperate with him, quickly you get out of your, God, I know what's happening here. All right? God, I understand what is happening here. Okay? God, I know what is happening here. They call the team. They don't put your name in the team. You say the team will lose because your name is not there. The team wins for who? It is to do what? Humble you. So that by the time you come back, you understand what a team is. So it's taking you through a process. Don't abort it. Don't fight it. Understand and cooperate with him. The Bible tells us that our fathers in the flesh corrected us, we gave them reverence. He says, won't you take? You are going through something. Yes, I understand. This is happening. So I said, listen, so God just says, I just want something in you to be removed. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to verse 10. It says this, 1 Peter 5, 5 to 10. It says, this is what he says here. He says, 1 Peter 5, 5 to 10. He says, likewise, submit yourselves to the elder, yea, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Next verse, he says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may do what? Exalt you. Now, if that hand is not exalting you, you know that he may exalt you. That means that hand is humbling you. Do you get what I'm saying here? He says that he may do what? Exalt you. That means that hand is actually resisting you at that point. Are you following what I'm saying here? They called all my friends. They did not call me. It's God. Let me tell you this. If you go through the process, one day the whole world will be calling you. And you will still see your friend across the road. You will park your car and cross to go and greet the person. You understand what I'm saying? You will just, that all that self-consciousness, you know, carrying yourself as though, you know, the world revolves around me. That somebody is not carrying your bag, you're shouting like you've lost control of yourself. God looks at this person. Why is my water not cold? I've told you. Do you get what I'm saying? As he say, now elder, say, God blesses you. You are doing witchcraft. Do you want to become God? He made you king. He's God you now want. Let's go on. First Peter. I can tell you stories. Okay. Law of substitution. Samuel replaced. Are you following what I'm saying? If we go to football, there was a footballer. You may not know. You're much younger. It was Eric Cantona. He was one of the best footballers in the world. But you know when somebody's in a team and everybody, you know, you are the second coach. The new coach came in, Ami Jacquet, and said, Eric Cantona, you will not play for France if you continue this way. Eric Cantona held a press conference. The World Cup was coming to France in 98. He held a press conference global. He had more clout than the coach. He said, Ami Jacquet has dropped me from the French team. France has just dropped the World Cup. I mean, Jacques will walk on the streets of Paris. People will spit on him. He will have to cross the road. Why are you doing Cantona this way? I mean, Jacques searched until he found Zinedine Zidane. That was the replacement. You know, when you see Zidane, you know it's over. That's what he says about Esau. He lost his birthright. When a person knows they've lost their birthright, you will see somebody somewhere, you know it was you that was to do it. See, this ministry we're doing, the work I'm doing, there was somebody supposed to do it. I called the guy because he made me president of fellowship. I called him before I started this church. I said, if I go and start this church, he's the principal of firstborn, I will occupy that space in the spirit and nobody will know you. Grant me permission because you gave me and risked for me and I will not do it. I said, grant me permission. 11 pages I wrote the letter. He looked at it. He didn't even understand. He said, you can go and do what you want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you understood this, when you are going through the flame, you'll be thanking God. What will kill me, you are taking it out of me. That my blessing is guaranteed. But Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now, so let me just quickly move on. So he's purging. So he says, I will suffer you to hunger, and then I will teach you this commandment. So this commandment that he wants to teach you, he said, I suffered thee to hunger, I humbled thee, that I may know whether you will keep my commandment or not. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, I want to close on something here. He says, humbly and to teach you. So I want to say how you find this commandment. Now, he says, remember all the way. It's 40 years, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether you keep my commandments or not. So when do we discover this commandment? Right? And don't forget this. Once you pray to God about something, God hears. And God says, all right, you've asked for it, I grant it. The angel came to meet Daniel, says, from the first day, you prayed, the commandment came forth. It says, so what is causing the delay? You see, God says, this is all he said. Before I can bring more fruit, I have to purge you. That is all that he's saying. You are saying that, listen, I can sing. I have a powerful word. I know. And when you sing, everybody feels the anointing. But then when they choose the people that will sing, they dropped you. You say it's jealousy. It's not jealousy. It's that they have seen something in you that after you finish singing, you gave attitude. And God knows that attitude will destroy you. So they said, drop that person. You can get angry and say, listen to what I'm telling you. They cheated. They do, do, do. Be complaining. You will see there's no movement. Isn't what you want to do is to sing to the world and go into the nations of the earth? You'll be in your room complaining until you realize this is the hand of God on me. There is something he wants to purge in me. There is something he wants to remove out of my system. Lord, I worship you. Whatever it is, take it out of me. I worship you. Now, how is he going to do it? So you go and meet him and say, Lord, these commandments you're talking about, what are they? And I'll close with something God showed me. Go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 to verse 27. Please note that during all this time, there was no law in operation. The law had not come. God was teaching principles and instruction. Let me just show this here. In Exodus 15, verse 22 to 27, and Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Then he says, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters, for it was bitter. Therefore they called it Marah. Next verse. Next verse, please. And the people murmured against Moses, what shall we drink? The next verse. And they cried unto the Lord. Now, they were bitter. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance, and he proved them. And he said, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments. Please understand, the Ten Commandments were not in existence here. He was talking about principles. And keep his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which are brought upon the Egyptians, from the Lord that what? He led thee. For years I said, God, what are you talking about? What is this branch? Some days ago he showed me, said this is what I'm saying. He said, when you come to any point in your life where you are bitter about something, he said, you are bitter. He said, Proverbs chapter 14, I believe, verse 24, 25, or 14, it says, my son, eat honey and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. No, 14. It says, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul when you have found it. There shall be a reward, and your expectation shall not be cut off. He said, if you can learn the wisdom I want you to get when you are bitter about anything, he said that bitter thing will become what? Sweet. So where do you get this commandment? You go through things, you are disappointed, you are bitter, you are angry. The person that says to God and humbles themselves and says, God, what is it that I did not know? What is it that I don't know that is making this thing a frustrating experience? That is making this thing, what is it? He says, the person who can move from bitterness to sweetness, which is the knowledge of wisdom. He said, that is the only place you're going to find my commandment. The only time man learns anything. The time, as I say, the soul only imbibes truth in living power when it requires you. You come to that point where you could have done the blame game and you go to God, God, listen, teach me your wisdom here. I've gotten to this choke point. Teach me your commandments. What is it that I did not see? He says, and I begin to open your eyes, and what was bitter becomes sweet there through the knowledge of wisdom. He says, that's it. I said, so what's the branch you throw into bitter waters that makes it sweet? He said, praise. He said, if people, when they are there, can lift up their hand and praise me, you know, I will speak on it in Wolfbeck. David, when his son died, the Bible says the first thing David did was he worshipped God. When Absalom betrayed David, his own son, and wanted to kill him, the Bible says as David went up the mountain, he bowed down and worshipped. That's, he bowed down to God and said, God, I worship you. That's how you access that knowledge that is hidden. And if a person will change every situation in the life, which means what creates this system in the human body is this thing. If you change everything from bitterness to sweet, he said, none of those diseases will access you. Learn the lesson. They asked somebody, said, how do you get this far? He said, I've learned nothing outside of humiliation and rejection. He said, that's the only two times I've learned anything. He said, I'm here today as the most successful person. In fact, if I tell people who know things in this world to tell me 30 names of who was the person who influenced Donald Trump to pick his vice president, they won't call him. Somebody who is in the root of power said, that's the guy that talked to Trump and said, give it to this guy. All right?